T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
9:20, we're joined by our friend Martin Johnson. Spoke to him yesterday before the gubernatorial debates. He's a professor of mass communication and political science at LSU. Morning, Professor.
Good morning.
Thank you for your time. Let me give you my observations, and then you can have the floor, okay? And I don't mean this to endorse any candidate at all. To me, Representative Abraham came off as a little dour. I'm not saying he is. I'm just saying that's the way he came off. Governor Edwards came off as, I won't say wonkish, but he knew how the system works, I guess. And I don't mean that I don't mean that pejoratively, but there is, when it comes to government, there's a way you got to do things and a way you can and can't. When it comes to Eddie Rasponi, I think his campaign ads do him a great disservice, because whom I saw walk out last night on a stage and speak was not this kind of guy that you see on a commercials, or at least the image that is portrayed. And I think he needs to portray himself more like, and I'm not rooting for anybody here, more like the Eddie Rasponi on a stage last night, and not the guy sitting on a truck, et cetera, et cetera. That's my thoughts. Those are my thoughts. What are yours? You're the pro.
Well, I mean, I think I would track with you. I mean, I think that, you know, you saw between Governor Edwards and Congressman Abraham, you know, they kind of mixed it up a little bit. But you're right. There were, I don't know that dour is the right word. I think that Congressman Abraham just kind of has a subtle style that, you know, I don't know. They may be talking about that in his campaign as they head into the next debate. I totally agree. I mean, Governor Edwards was pretty quick to, you know, appeal to his detailed knowledge of state government and public policy issues. And I also agree that Mr. Rasponi was pretty effective at, you know, kind of casting himself as distinct from the other two, and really capitalized that on the you know, in his performance on the debate.
And again, I'm not endorsing anybody. This is more about style than substance. But I don't know why Eddie Rasponi would want to portray himself in these commercials as the guy sitting on the back of his truck, and I understand trying to relate to everybody and pushing his relationship with President Trump. It just seems to me he looked a lot more like governor material last night than he does on the commercials, or is that what sells?
Well, I mean, yeah, you know, and I think who knows, you might see his commercials change over time. I mean, I think he definitely, you know, he definitely wants to benefit from being an outsider and a successful business person. But at the same time, you know, I think you're intuitively right on that. He wants to show that he can connect with, you know, people who aren't, you know, millionaires and, you know, regular people in the state. So, you know, I think that's a thing that he's trying to finesse, and we'll see how the campaign evolves.
Tell me what you saw of substance last night in terms of, and Eddie Rasponi did come off personally when he realized they had forgotten him, and he said, might I be allowed to answer that question?
Yeah.
And then he said, you know, you're watching the show of two professional politicians there, something to that effect. But in terms of accuracy of the message that they were putting forth, what grade would you give them? I don't know if you want to give them Pinocchio's or what have you, but was everybody being factual or not?
Well, you know, I don't have command of the facts,
right,
on everything they said, so it's difficult for me to do that. But I think there will be a certain amount of fact checking. One moment that was interesting was about attendance and participation records, and Congressman Abraham asserted that Governor Edwards, while he was in the legislature, had missed votes, and Governor Edwards asserted that he hadn't, and that is something that I think will definitely get some attention from fact checkers, just because it's easy to check. You know, I mean, it's potentially an issue in the race. You know, Congressman Abrams' attendance in Congress, but that's something that's definitely easy to go out there and look up.
He mentioned Steve Scalise and some sort of relation with him and how Steve Scalise helped him in Congress, however it goes. And my apologies to Representative Abraham, because I might not be representing it accurately. But does he get any credit, or does it help him to mention Steve Scalise's name in this?
I think there certainly are sort of, famous and well-liked Louisiana political leaders and national political leaders that, you know, the candidates are going to attach themselves to in different ways. And, I don't know that I just don't know this, whether or not Congressman Scalise has endorsed or weighed in on the race. But, you know, clearly Congressman Abraham and Congressman Scalise are colleagues, and we have seen Congressman Higgins, another one of his colleagues, weigh in on Mr. Rispone's criticism of Congressman Abraham. And these members of Congress do all work together and presumably have, working, if not good, friendly personal relationships. And so, I think certainly that would be a strength that Congressman Abraham would want to play up. It'll be interesting to see how, you know, the members of the delegation weigh in on the race, especially given that you've got two Republicans in the race.
Hey, let me change my characterization of Representative Abraham. And again, this is just about style, not substance. Not dour as much as he seems like a no-nonsense kind of guy, where there are some bosses where, for whatever reason, they're looking for an answer and you give them an answer and both of you know it's really not true. So they kind of let the whole thing slide, put it in a folder and move on, right? But there are other bosses, like I presume Representative Abraham, who, if you say, well, it can't be done, well, why can't it be done? Well, because of this. Well, who said that? Do you understand what I'm trying to say, Professor?
Yeah, no, I think so. I mean, he definitely, was trying to. I mean, I think this is common to all three of them. An effort to, kind of cut through to the essential character of questions and not exceed that 60 seconds that they had to answer most of them.
It seems to me it would be more valuable. And here the public's not going to want to hear it, and they're going to be policy wonks, and it's going to get deep in the weeds, whatever phrase you want to use. But I think one thing President Trump learned when he got in office, or as does somebody without any governmental experience, it's not as easy as it sounds, right? Because you can say you want to do this, but then you could have this long debate of, okay, well, how do you want to do that? And then the response could be, well, really, you can't, because you'd have to do this and have to do that. Would we ever see any kind of debate of that nature at all?
I mean, I think the problem is that really dealing with the detailed complexity of implementing any given policy probably is outside the scope of how people campaign. You know, in other words, you can write out position papers and white papers, and, you know, presumably all of the candidates have done a fair amount of this. But when you're cutting a 30-second commercial, or you're answering, you know, even a minute and a half of an answer, you know, in a debate format, you're not going to be able to examine all the dominoes. You know, you're going to have to kind of stay, you know, pretty focused on the top lines of the policy goals.
So if you were to design the ideal debate, and not casting any aspersions on what happened last night, but if Martin Johnson could design the ideal debate that would keep people's attention as well as provide some substantive real world, you can't do this because of that, or you can do this because of that, et cetera. How would you do that? Formatically?
I think it probably would be fair to, you know, the challenge that I think you face in designing a debate is, you know, there are lots of issues that people care about. There are lots of topics that you want to address. And at the same time, you want to address topics in more than a top of the trees kind of way. And so what we saw our friends with Nexstar doing last night was, you know, really building a debate around trying to hit a lot of topics while still not managing to get to a lot of really important topics that we'll want to see addressed in subsequent debates, you know. But there are just so many issues to try to touch on, touching on a lot of the debate issues and doing so in a comparatively short format with some follow up. And I think the follow up was, structurally a pretty constructive thing to do. But, I might. It's also hard to kind of talk about this without reference to, what we saw last night. I might give them a little bit more time and edit back. There are things that I could imagine editing to get a little bit more depth, but you just have to recognize that you're going to sacrifice breadth of issues when you do that. And I'm not really answering your question because I think there is.
I didn't give you a lot of time to work on it. I mean, it's like, hey, professor, you got 10 seconds. Design a perfect debate for me, which was not fair.
Yeah, I think that ideally what you get are lots of debates. I mean, I think that's, and ideally lots of different formats, which is the benefit. One idea that has been kicked around, and one of our colleagues here at the Manchin School has been, interested in fostering a debate commission in Louisiana. And I think that's a really good idea. Because it would allow for some coordination. It would be nice to see a town hall. It would be nice to see a really focused debate that had some depth on, a hypercritical issue for the state, like the economy and poverty or something like that. In addition to debates where we get lots of topics covered in a compact way. So, I mean, I think ideally we want to see a lot of debates with different structures that, allow candidates to explore issues at depth and at breadth with the voters.
No score is kept, obviously. It is a subjective thing. I'm getting texts from different numbers. Rasponi clearly won. No doubt it was Governor Edwards. Ralph Abraham wiped the stage with the two of them. Do you have any idea? Would you be comfortable saying who won, like ordering them first, second, and third, or not?
No, I'm not comfortable with that. I did go and spend some time after the debate in the room where the candidates came in and talked about their performances and talked about the debate itself. And, my sense is all three of them walked away from the debate feeling good about their performance. And, they're showing, like I did say, we're going to see at least three more of these interactions. They're going to be at Press Club in Baton Rouge next week. The LPB debate is coming up. The Gray Broadcasting debate is coming up. So we're going to see a number of these interactions, and presumably there will be the exploration of other issues and alterations to the format that may accomplish some of what I'm hoping to see out of this process in the next few weeks.
Thank you, Professor. We got to run. Professor Martin Johnson, Professor of Mass Communications, Political Science at LSU. I would agree. I don't think anybody won, but I'll tell you this, nobody lost, and I think all three did very well. Good, take a break. Coming back with Tommy's Weekend Winners and JR here on WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.